Help keep our community safe and healthy during National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, October 25th. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent drug misuse before it starts.
Good morning and welcome to Joy News at Sikra. In Kumasi, we are on Love 99.5 FM and over 30 affiliates across Ghana, 16 regions, including Jubilee and Sun City Radio, Sketa, Saboba FM, Saboba, and A1 Radio, Bogatanga. Get radio, TV, and online content on the MyJoyOnline.com interactive app for Android and iOS devices. Coming up, IMF staff gives green light, but executive board demands Ghana secures financing assurances from external creditors before releasing the schedule, $360 million.
It is important that the authorities reach agreement with their official creditors on this memorandum of understanding.
We have details as Ghana prepares to begin another debt restructuring dance with its official creditors. Also, Ghana Navy calls for calm and promises expedited and thorough investigations after two men between the ages of 29 and 34 were allegedly shot dead by the forces in Tema New Town.
We want to appeal to the youth to allow the due process to unfold. The leadership, both political and the traditional, are handling the issue.
We also have business, and later in today's Doomsday Diaries, we delve into the lives of students at the University of Cape Coast and Education in Winneba, as power outages there are affecting not just their academic work, but also their security on campus.
It becomes very alarming because we have a lot of thefts going on during this era, like during examination era.
These are more with me in the next 10 minutes. Please stay with us. And the IMF staff level agreement is secured, but executive board demands that Ghana obtains the needed financing assurances from its external creditors before passing the second review, which will eventually facilitate the release of the scheduled $360 million. Isaac Ofeje has more on the following report.
Stefan Rode, who is IMF's mission chief for Ghana, in a joint press conference with the Finance Ministry and the Bank of Ghana, indicated that it will be necessary for Ghana to obtain the needed financing assurances before the IMF Executive Board approves the second review.
It is important that the authorities reach agreement with their official creditors on this memorandum of understanding that I talked about earlier. And we look forward to the authorities' continued efforts to reach this agreement and the other creditors as well, in line with the program parameters.
With this condition in full swing, it means Ghana has not yet completed the second review to trigger the release of the $360 million from the IMF. In fact, the Finance Ministry in January 2024 indicated that the terms of the agreed debt treatment with official bilateral creditors were projected to be formalized in an MOU, which was expected to be implemented through a bilateral agreement with each member of the official creditor committee. Now, dealing with each bilateral creditor can be a difficult task, as the issue of comparability of treatment is likely to pop up at every stage of the negotiations, which could delay the IMF Executive Board's passing of Ghana's second review program.
That was Isaac Ofeje's report. Meanwhile, government intends to audit the energy sector to enhance transparency and financial sustainability. This audit will specifically focus on the cash waterfall mechanism and PURC staff methodology. Finance Minister Amin Adam says the aim of the audit is to ensure effective financial management.
For the energy sector in particular, we've discussed the possibility of ensuring that the shortfall in the sector is reduced. The reforms we are pursuing will continue to be implemented, including new ones. We will, for example, conduct a sector-wide audit of the energy sector. We will strengthen the implementation of the cash waterfall mechanism.
Mr. Mohammed Amin Adam also announced government will as well continue to rationalize road projects under the cocoa sector.
On the cocoa sector, we'll continue to pay attention to the cost-cutting measures being implemented by Cocoa Board, as well as continue to rationalize the cocoa root sector in order to make more resources available.
And that was Finance Minister Mohamed Amin Adam. Now, in an environment of higher learning where students have become used to modern technologies for their academic work and daily lives, the current power crisis is having a toll on their activities. The impact has become dire, particularly as they prepare for their end of semester examinations. Central Regional Correspondent Eric Asante visited the University of Education Winneba and the University of Cape Coast to find out how students are coping. That you
care. The song in the background is titled Survivors, a 1979 classic by the legend Bob Marley, detailing how some people amid social inequalities still make a way to survive. Perhaps this is a song most of the students at the University of Education Winneba and the University of Cape Coast are drawing inspiration from amid the current energy crisis known as Doomsaw. We're the
survivors. The hostels, the way they give light out is so bad. I have industrial psychology for tomorrow, but because I can't go back because of the light out, I have to stay till 5 a.m.
The University of Cape Coast covers a vast area of land and is surrounded by five communities. The absence of a generator for electricity in most of the hostels in those communities means students have no option but to move to campus when the light goes off. And this comes with its associated security challenges.
My greatest concerns come to the security. Leaving my hostel to campus becomes very scary because there are no lights on the street.
Eric Asante with that report. Now, the Ghana Navy is urging calm in Tema New Town following allegations of fatal shootings by its men belonging to the Eastern Naval Command during clashes with youth celebrating the Gbeleju Festival. Community leaders reported the deaths of two individuals during the altercation. Now, the Navy pledges swift and thorough investigations into the incident while urging the youth to refrain from attacking naval bases. Director of Public Relations, Captain Andy Lanyani, urges cooperation from the community as investigations proceed.
Unfortunately, they claim our vehicle sped through their celebration and they hit and damaged some of one of our vehicles. A few of them were arrested and sent to the base. The military doesn't keep suspects in our barracks. We were preparing to hand them over to the civil police. And then the youth massed up and wanted to attack the base. Warning shots were fired and we managed to disperse the crowd that's gathered. About two guys from the mob were injured, were hit in the thigh, and they were treated at a hospital. But it came to us as a surprise when we learned that two persons were sent to the Tema General Hospital and they were pronounced dead. Because what we are also hearing is that some they were stabbed. And if it is a stab wound that killed them, then we can't say that it was a gunshot. We want to appeal to the youth to allow the due process to unfold and nothing is going to be swept under the carpet.
But spokesperson for the Tema Traditional Council, Nishipi Ama, has been disputing the account of the Ghana Navy. We'll hear that sound subsequently in other bulletins. Now, the Ashanti Regional NPP Chairman, Bernard Entry Boisiako, is urging defeated aspirants in the Ejisu primaries to unite and support the winning candidate. He explained that unity is crucial for a decisive victory in the upcoming by-election. The victorious candidate, Kwabena Boateng, expresses that his win is for all residents of Ejisu, extending gratitude especially to the other eight challengers who competed for the party's mandate. Nana Yaljima has more.
Kwabena Boateng, who emerged victorious, shared a few words. The victory is for all of us, especially the other candidates. We are here to serve the people of Ejisu. We will work towards victory. I am grateful to you all. Regional Chairman Bernard Entriboisiako is requesting for party unity to make a statement in the by-election. The people of Ejisu have spoken. The polling station executives have made a bold statement. I believe in their choice.
And that was Nanayal Juma's report, ending the bulletin here on Joy 99.7 FM. Now, top story, IMF staff gives green light for, but executive board demands Ghana secures finance and assurances from external creditors before releasing the scheduled $360 million. Business is next on the Super Morning Show. I am Amisi Nyamiche Thompson.
You know, your papa see that. Idiom. And it's rickety car. Hey, papa.
Bobo.
Papa.
Oh, hello.
Ah, Bobo. So, how about your engine now?
It is half man, half amazing. Thanks to us and you.
Come feel better energy.
Can't touch this.
Guys, so Sancho's engine just died like that?
Yes, sir.
Somebody managed to convince him that there is a better engine oil than quartz. And he switched.
Ah, Sancho Panza.
Now, which engine oil can be better than quartz?
No other, my guy.
Quartz with 8-age-resistant technology, it keeps your engine
younger for longer.
Now you know. Have you guys seen the new bottle design? It's superb. Quartz 9000 from Total Energies DA improves fuel efficiency.
Why do you think Mr. Money and Logoso have taken the Quartz Nation movement World Cup like that?
Mr. Money,
sorry.
Chairman Money. Chairman.
Hey, Chairman.
Quartz. Keep your engine younger for longer.
You can't touch.
Millennium Insurance has enhanced its motor insurance policy cover to make life more comfortable for you, our valued clients, and in the event of vehicle breakdown whilst on the road. To ensure your safety and that of your vehicle, Millennium Insurance will ensure that your broken down vehicle is towed to a safe place within 1 hour of call and 30 kilometers radius from the place of breakdown. This service is absolutely free. Millennium Insurance, your trustworthy partner, is on standby to be of service to you. Contact us now on 0501-394-997 or 0501-285-821. 0501-394-997 or 0501-285-821.
Millennium Insurance, your trustworthy partner.
Ebusia 4, welcome. I want to greet Uncle James in Germany. Since I was a child, you have promised me a trip abroad, sir. To date, my passport is still a virgin poo. And then to you, baby, yeah, for that bombastic broken heart. Hey! I want you to know that latest by June, dear, I'll have one big in the Ideal Yonkopa promo.
Win up to 600,000 Ghana cedis in cash. Another amazing prizes up for grabs with Ideal Yonkopa promo. Just peel, text, and you could win big. This advert is FDA approved.
Shop, save, and win at Orca Deco this season. Enjoy big discounts on curtains, bedding, carpets, and all kitchen items in our limited time offer. Shop, 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 and be one of the lucky customers to win a three-seater Italian Natuzzi sofa. Shop, save, and win at Orca Deco. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello?
Yo, bro! SG Ghana has done it again. Low interest rates on loans this year too. Yeah, disobium.
Charlie, I did drop throw inside. Let me call you back.
Call SG Ghana rather. Collect loan and buy car, my guy. Low, very low interest rates on loans this year too. It's difficult to keep good news to yourself, especially when it can transform your life and those close to you. SG Ghana went low on interest rates last year, and this year, we are even lower. Yes, Yatisubium. Get the money you need to turn your dreams into a reality. Visit any SG Ghana branch near you and speak to our dedicated staff about the amazing Yatisubium loans today. You can also call 0302-214-314 for more details.
Oh, Joe, it's 3 a.m. What now?
Yatisubium, oh, Yatisubium. Okay, bye. Societe Generale Ghana. The future is you.
Right, so welcome back, and thank you very much for staying with us here on the Super Morning Show on Joy 99.7 FM and the 6 a.m. news brought to us by Total Energies. Total, we go the extra mile for you. Millennium Insurance, your trustworthy partner. Coming up is the Joy Business Report, brought to us by Omni Basic Bank, at your service. Akwafu.
Good morning. How
good
are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How about you?
I'm good. I'm great.
And you had a lovely weekend?
Well, quite an eventful weekend locally and internationally.
Oh, you've been you've been monitoring trends on the global stage.
Yeah.
Israel, Iran, America, the UK. We've been monitoring.
Interesting days ahead indeed. Yeah, we've got the IMF to also talk about and other issues, right, Winston?
Yeah, the IMF, we've reached a staff level agreement, so if the board approves, we get some $360 million. Actually saw something that Bloomberg report by Bloomberg, mm-hmm. on why the price of cocoa is increasing on the world market. And they indicate, for instance, it's because of poor crop season in West Africa.
Yeah.
And so Ivory Coast, for instance, has had a drop by some 25%.
Wow.
Ghana by 35%.
Wow.
And so this is it. Now, this is it. I mean, even though we are having these challenges, it's good for us because now the price on the world market is high. So we should also note that if other things happen in other parts of the world...
It's going to impact
the whole world. But today, we should be enjoying from the price of cocoa.
Exactly. It's gone past $10,475.
We should be enjoying from it. Are we? Anyway, still to come this morning on the Super Morning Show. I don't know whether you followed news file over the weekend, but listen to this.
If you create an example to say somebody owns a hospital, the person is not needy. How do you define needy? There is no any constitutional rule to say that this person is needy.
The MD of a private hospital, is that what you're saying? A former board member of the National Health Insurance Authority?
Yes.
There's no way to tell if the person is needy or not.
There is no rule. There is no any adequate evaluation.
You want to get serious? You want to get serious? He's operating a hospital in airport residential?
Yeah, if he's operating a hospital, at the time he's applying, you know whether he's needy or he's not needy. There is no any adequate qualification as to who is needy, Samson. We all agree with that fact. This is not a debatable matter. There is no adequate evaluation of a needy person.
Question of the day, how do you define needy?
Well, I mean, that's how do you define needy? I think that for a start, we would use the livelihood empowerment against poverty, LEAP, to identify those who are needy. Now, the point here with the scholarship thing, you can explain a lot of things, but Darrell, can you explain that somebody gets $50,000? To study master's in public administration, $57,000.
$57,000.
Master's public administration at Harvard University. Where when that same program can be studied at the University of Ghana. So the amount we give him can actually train more than 30 Ghanaians for the same program.
So then what's the justification?
What is the justification?
Oh, Eben.
Yes, relax. Sorry about that. Eben is in a hurry. He's a man in a hurry. What is the justification? And for me, that's the most important thing. Can you explain why somebody would go for a scholarship about £17,000 and not enroll on the program? That person should be paying the money back to the state.
It's unacceptable.
Yeah, for me, so that's the important thing. Okay, so we can do all the semantics here and there, but this is the other point. First of all, must we be sending people outside this country for courses that can be offered in this country?
Yeah.
No. No. Okay? So for all those who say, I want to go and do an MBA in, say, accounting outside the country, MBA management outside the country, MBA marketing outside the country, why? If you want to go and do an MBA in marketing, accounting, all the things that we do in this country, pay and go.
Mm.
Pay and go. But if you want to go and do things that are not offered in this country, like medical toxicology, mm-hmm. then there's a reason to give you that scholarship.
And even with that, you're coming back to
You're coming back. So with that, you're actually bonded. You go and come back and offer services to the state.
Yeah.
One of the other things we must be thinking about, for all these persons who travel outside the country, what has been their impact on the economy of Ghana? Anyway. Let's now go for the Joy Business report. You know, one that Sabu was in a hurry.
Ibn was in a hurry. Hi, good morning. Welcome to the Joy Business Report. Coming up, Ghana's per capita income over the last 5 years witnesses marginal increase in dollar terms despite significant economic expansion, but this is due to the city's depreciation. Also, interest rates remain relatively same for first time since January 1 as government's T-bills are oversubscribed following 2 weeks of undersubscription. Plus, government goes after foreign income of residents in Ghana to make up for suspension of VAT on electricity tariffs. Details coming up. My name is Daryl Kwao. Thanks for joining us. Hello to our friends listening from Koforidua on KTU Radio. How much every Ghanaian is worth in monetary terms in the economy has not witnessed much growth in dollar terms. This is due to challenges with the Ghana cedi during the period. Here's more in this report.
Ghana's economy in monetary terms reached more than 841 billion Ghana cedis ending December 2023. This should mean that every Ghanaian should be worth 26,000 Ghana cedis as at the end of 2023. The data from the Ghana Statistical Service shows in 2018, when the country's population was 30.8 million, the country's per capita income was 10,000 Ghana cedis. Fast forward to 2023, it increased to 26,000 Ghana cedis. However, when you review the numbers in dollar terms, the country's per capita income has rather witnessed some marginal increase over the past 6 years. In 2018, Ghana's per capita dollar terms was around $2,273. The amount in 2023 went up marginally to reach $2,365. The developments can be linked to the recent challenges with the Ghana cedi over that period in terms of its stability against the dollar. Now, per capita income in dollar terms has been the benchmark in measuring the country's wealth and growth on its citizens. A stronger per capita income could give some signal to investors that the economy is strong and they could have some good returns on their investment. So the next time we get worried about the cedi depreciation, it should not just be about the country's debt, but how that could affect the performance of the economy as a whole.
Now, the Ghana Statistical Service will roll a new structure for calculating inflation from next year. This will see the service review the number of goods captured in the base for measuring inflation. The move could help in ensuring that inflation rate reflects current developments on the market. Professor Samuel Komenim is government statistician.
We currently in the process of collecting data. In January 2024, we started the data collection for prices and quantities for a one-year period with the mindset that come next year, we'll be able to rebase our consumer price index and rate of inflation. As I indicated, anytime we compute consumer price index and rate of inflation, there are two reference items. One is the weight, which is the share of the different items that we have in the basket, and the other is the price reference. So we always need to have a full calendar year of data collection. So between January 2024 and December 2024, we're going to collect data on prices and quantities based on our annual household income and expenditure survey and our Ghana Living Standard Survey, we're going to obtain our weights that we're going to put on the items that we're going to put in the basket, and that would enable us, hopefully, in 2025, rebase our consumer price index and rate of inflation.
You had a Professor Samuel Kwamenenim there, who is government statistician. Now, government will be going after Ghanaians and other residents in the country on their earnings outside Ghana for tax purposes. This is what the finance ministry will try to fall on to deal with the gap occasioned by suspension of VAT on electricity tariffs, which should have brought in almost 2 billion Ghana cedis. Julie ACM is Commissioner General of the Ghana Revenue Authority, and she says they are committed to ensuring there is full compliance with this tax type.
The gap that we find with the VAT on electricity, we have specifically agreed with GOG, our mother ministry, and the fund to implement a compliance measure on foreign income. Foreign income on resident Ghanaians, and I want to emphasize it's resident Ghanaians. Yes, okay. It's resident Ghanaians. By definition of the law, anybody who lives in the country for 183 days is classified as a resident Ghanaian. There's been a lot of questions on this measure from foreign nationals. Foreign nationals meaning Ghanaians who live abroad. This is related or relevant to resident Ghanaians, which is citizens of Ghana, obviously, who are here, and also individuals who currently reside in Ghana. This is not a new measure. This is already in the law through our voluntary disclosure program, exit, but its implementation has not been effective.
Commissioner General of the Ghana Revenue Authority, Julius M. Thayer. Now, interest rates remain relatively same for the first time since the beginning of the year. However, government's treasury bills were oversubscribed by 22.25% after 2 weeks of undersubscription. Here's more in this report.
Following a rise in inflation in March, there were concerns that the falling interest rate will halt. This reflected in the 91-day bill as the yield stayed same at 25.73%. VAT of the 182-day bill went down by 8 basis points to 28.14%. However, the interest on the 364-day bill shot up to 28.74% from the previous 28.33%. Going forward, it's unclear whether interest rate will resume its falling spree. Meanwhile, the government got 4.228 billion cedis from the sale of the short-term instruments. This is compared with a target of 2.459 billion cedis. About 85.2% of the bids tendered came from the 91-day bill. All the bids of the 3.606 billion cedis were accepted. For the 182-day bill, 505.19 million cedis were received, and the uptake was same. The one-year bill also saw about 117.64 billion cedis tendered. The uptake was also 117.64 million cedis.
Now, the IMF has indicated that it is waiting for a deal with bilateral creditors to enable the board approve Ghana's second program review completion. This after the country passed a program assessment at the staff level. Here's George Afe with more.
Engaging the media in Accra, the head of the IMF mission to Ghana, Stefan Rode, noted that it is very important this deal is reached on time so they can go to their board in June for this $360 million to be disbursed to Ghana.
Able to go to the board is that the government makes good faith effort to reach an agreement that is compatible with the program objectives and the program parameters. And this is definitely what we are seeing at the current juncture.
Governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Ernest Addison, noted that passing this review may go a long way to improve its reserves, whilst adding that they are confident of hitting the end of the inflation target of up to 15% despite the recent blips.
Expected that we would have had a continuous disinflation in terms of the PAC, but we saw what happened in March. We think it's just a temporary development, and we expect that second quarter of this year we would resume the disinflation path.
Finance Minister Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam noted that completing the second review didn't come easy, but government remains committed to the program. He also assured that they will soon reach a deal with their external creditors.
We are very confident that if things go the way they are, we certainly will reach a deal at some point. But what is significant is that in all these negotiations, we are mindful about the fiscal target. We are mindful about the debt sustainability target.
The IMF noted that performance under this program has been quite strong, with government meeting all the key targets, and was hopeful that managers of the economy will stick to the program objectives going forward. If Ghana is able to secure this $360 million in June this year, that could bring the amount of money Ghana has gotten since signing up to the program in May last year to more than $1.5 billion.
All right, let's turn to the stock market. Stock prices of Cow Bank and MTN Ghana are expected to decline on the Ghana Stock Exchange this week. This is based on the bids and offer dynamics on the market. Here's Grace Munayun of Data Bank Research.
Last week, the bonds registered four price movers of two Guinness and two Lagards. The Guinness were GCB Bank and New Gold, whereas Cow Bank and MTN Ghana both declined. The declines drove the market's indices lower, as the Ghana Stock Exchange Composite Index shed 0.30% weekly, the year-to-date gain of 9.95%,